Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to invite you to the Pipeline Conference. The theme of this year's conference will be succession at every level. The event will be held October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, Tennessee. The focus of this event will be succession all the way from senior leadership at a church to the preschool and even the parking volunteers. That means that this conference is for your whole leadership team and any volunteers who you'd like to join you. Our speakers will include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rayner, and more. Again, this event is October 11 through 13 here in Nashville. We will have separate coaching days on October 11 and 13, with the main event being the 12th. These days provide your team a chance to get focused, engaged training from our team. We have early bird discounts running through July 31st, so there's still time to take advantage of these, along with our fantastic group rates if you want to bring your team. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about the event and to register your team. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and don't forget to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts before July 31st.
You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Adkins, and I'm here with Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
And two very special people, Maria and Bob Goff, are on the line with us.
Hey, you,
hey,
guys.
You guys.
Okay.
Probably the happiest.
Probably the happiest guest we've ever had. This is true. I want to say two things about both of you. So first off, I had coffee with Bob like 3 years ago. He was in town for something, and we would go back and forth on Twitter sometimes. And saw he was going to be in town. I'm like, you want to grab coffee or something?
I remember you reaching out to him.
And then I'm like, so we're having coffee, and it was great. So we spent like 2 hours together, and I had maybe three cups of coffee, and I think it's the closest to high I've ever been in my life. Because, you know, you don't walk away from sitting down with Bob and not feel pretty darn good about yourself, where you're going and what your potential is.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was a beautiful thing. And then
hey, it's one thing for you to say that, Todd, but for Marie to say that too, that's legit.
That is legit.
Can you imagine being married to me? It's like being married to Tigger.
That is
coffee for you, buddy.
That is awesome.
There's no antidote for that kind of high either once you get it, right, Todd?
I've been looking forward ever since. So one of the cool things that that I do want you all to tell a little bit about your story in just a moment, but part of Lifeway is, of course, B&H Publishing, and we had the pleasure of publishing Maria's new book, and Love Lives Here. And one of the interesting things about that I think is the coolest idea ever, and I haven't quite convinced my wife to do this yet, but I know you guys will have people into your home for large, fun, ruckus-filled meals, and you have people sign their names on the bottom of your table. And I think that is the coolest thing I've ever
it
seen.
It is. You should do it. Get Sharpies so that it lasts forever.
It is cool.
But it's just a special moment just to kind of declare, you know, the time that we've spent together. And then long after people have left, it's so fun. We'll find our, you know, selves under the table from time to time, just looking up and reading, you know, everybody that's come and gone. It's quite a collection of people.
That is really cool.
It's crazy. It all comes from Acts 2 and 4. It said the disciples broke bread together and they had things in common. And so sometimes the people that we'll have in our place up in Canada, they don't have very much in common. That's why we brought them. And to say, you know, we broke some bread together. And what if we just start here? Find one thing you could have in common. You could do the same thing with spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends and all that, to just find more in common. Maria and I share a car. Isn't that awesome? It's just one more. I could scratch together enough money for a Prius, but what we have is one more thing in common. Hmm. And so just keeping your faith simple, like, right? It ain't easy, because if I'm reading all these pages, right, it'll kill you. Mm-hmm. But to just keep your faith simple, keep your relationship simple, 100% kindness, 0% drama.
Well, and I think too, I mean, you know, Bob, of course, wrote a little book called Love Does as well. But those two stories, the reason why I wanted to open with that was just they kind of epitomize, at least from my perspective, who you guys are, but share a little bit about your background, you know, how you met each other and what ministry journey have you been on?
Yeah. So I devoted a whole chapter in the book called Meeting Bob because it was kind of a rough start in the beginning when we met at a Young Life meeting. I kind of had hit rock bottom and was deciding, you know, what things mattered in my life. And one of them was I wanted to rekindle my faith. And I was trying to figure out, you know, where was the community of people that I could really have a lot of fun with, but then also, you know, what helped me grow in my faith. And I thought, I know I've been to Young Life before. Those are fun people. So I looked up the number for Young Life in San Diego and, sure enough, they sent me to the one that Bob was already volunteering at. So that's how we met. That's when our lives intersected. But strangely, we had a lot in common. Neither one of us before that we had a lot in common because neither one of us had been raised in a family where our parents talked a lot about God. It was just, you know, we kind of learned it and came upon our faith on our own. And so after we met in Young Life, we just had started talking about if we got married someday, what would life look like for us? And it was definitely different than the ones that we grew up in. And we had a lot in common there, too. And it just has taken off.
Marie is being really generous. Yeah, I was a Young Life leader, and I was really bad at it. So they sent her over to bail us out. And she walked in the door. I'm like, yes, you will be mine. And then I spent the next 30 years, 10 months, and 11 days, you know, trying to talk her into this. So I wake up in the morning. Yes, you will be mine.
So Bob, when you said that, did you have your hands on your hip and a cape behind you when you said that?
Yeah, exactly. Guys do that, you know. A girl yes. they like walks in the room. The guy thinks they're dating because they're in the room.
That's right.
Yeah.
It took Marie a little while to warm up to me because I make coffee nervous. I'm so amped. And so it just takes a little while to, I think I'm an acquired taste.
There you go.
Well, it didn't take long once I started seeing all of your virtues, but I wasn't ready to date when we met. So it was kind of rough in the beginning, but I'm glad that it's been a happy ending.
Hmm. It sounds like he persisted and pursued and still does. So that's good. Yeah. Very good. Well, I want to go ahead and ask our first question. Who are you currently learning from?
Yeah, I love this question because it made me realize how much I've kind of consistently always looked to the people that are out in front of me a little bit, as well as looking over my shoulder of who's coming up behind me. Like the people that are in front of me give me like hope for what's to come. And the ones behind me keep me motivated to keep going because I want to do well and helping them, you know, down the path that they're on. And I've got a couple of neighbors right now who are out, they're out in front of Bob and I a little bit in life. And they've just gone through a hard time of losing a family member. And Bob and I aren't as experienced with that. And it's just been this really beautiful thing to watch how they have led their family through a season of loss. And I've been inspired by it. We've mourned with them. But, you know, it's just been this beautiful thing. And I'm so appreciative of having people that are out in front of us doing life and trying to do it to the best of their ability. And another friend of mine who has just retired from a life career of serving elderly people in her church. And she gave up that job. She's way too young to retire, but she saw how her kids were having kids and she wanted to be available to them. And so she's changed her focus on life. And instead of helping people through the church, she's helping her own family with the kids that they're having at home. And then the people behind me are our kids growing up. Wouldn't you say that, Bob?
Yeah, totally.
They're keeping us on our toes.
It's easy to love the people that are easy to love too. Our neighbors, Maria's friend, our kids. I would add to this the question of like who am I learning the most from? It's from some of the people who creep me out. No, really, because like loving like, you know, wonderful people, that's easy. That's low hanging fruit. Mm. But if you could love some of the people that creep you out, people that are just a little bit on edge. Yeah. Or whatever. So sometimes it doesn't happen very often because I'm a pretty hard guy not to get along with. But somebody will say something kind of snarky on social media. So before I block them, I go onto their pages to say, what's one thing I could learn from them? Because I don't want to be mad at them.
Yeah.
They just have a different worldview. Yeah. And I want to learn one thing from them. I'm That's not good. Trying to validate that you know that they're creepy and I'm not, because it's probably the opposite. I'd probably creep them out more than they creep me out. But what I'm trying to do is learn one thing from them. And so if we could just turn it, it's just like a quarter of a twist. That's what good winemakers do. They have all these bottles down in the cellar and they keep giving them a quarter twist. And that's how all the sediment gets out of the wine, right? It all just sticks to the edge of the bottle. And so it's like before I salute these guys and say, you know, so long, I just say, what's one thing I could learn from them? It's like a going away party.
Have you ducked anybody lately?
Yeah. I love that. Yes. Metzger Farms, you can get, for those of you listening in, you can get a dozen baby ducks for like $15. It's awesome. And so if there's somebody that like kind of falls into the freaking out category, I'll just send them a dozen baby ducks. It's awesome. We just duck them. And then they'll be so busy raising these ducks, they won't like spend all that time creeping everybody out. So there was one guy here, he used to be the mayor. And he was doing all these like horrible things. And so he's not the mayor anymore. I double ducked him. Sent him two dozen ducks.
Did you send him Peking ducks?
No, Peking ducks. Those are great. That. You can always tell. They always like kind of herd together and you can tell where they've been.
That's good. That's good.
What's cool about ducks is they go through adolescence in like a week and a half and then they just fly away. It's awesome. So, yeah, that's it. I love that. You got to give everybody, but don't duck me. Literally. I'll send you a dozen llamas.
No. Well, that's good. The second question that we have today is the emphasis. What's the main point of emphasis for yourselves, for your leadership team right now?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I've always made a point of thinking of what I do here at home is like making a career out of raising my family. And I know a lot of times in business and in out in the world, people are trying to get on the same page. The focus is like just get everybody to think the same way. And I kind of feel like before we do that, we need to keep our eyes on our own paper. We need to figure out who we are and how God has made us and wired us and the things that are important to us. And then have that effect be out in the world. When I was in school growing up, I had such a hard time and nobody knew what kind of learning disorder I had at the time. But I remember comparing myself to the girl that I sat next to, and I couldn't figure out how we could be in the same classroom with the same teacher learning the same assignments, yet she would get good grades and I would get horrible grades. And I started to compare myself with her, and eventually I just started copying off of her paper. But that doesn't get you very far. At some point, you have to just do your own work and then also check it. Like, is it right? And for me, I needed to go up to the teacher and find out what I was doing wrong and have her help me. And I think a lot of times in life, we need to keep our eyes on our own paper and what it is that we're doing in the world, and then check it. Check the source. Go to God. Say, is this right? Is this what I'm meant to do? Am I doing it in the ways that are honoring to you?
Yeah, I know for me, one of the things that Growing Edge continues to be availability, because I just have this underlying view that God demonstrated for us, just this tremendous availability, not just sending a son, but when the son was here, he was just available to everybody. There was a woman that pulled on his shirt. He wanted to know her name. There's a guy in a sycamore tree who wanted to know his name. And so what happens sometimes in leadership is that you become less and less available. And I think we become less and less imitators of what Jesus did. So that was the idea behind putting my cell phone number in the back of both Maria's book and mine.
Yeah.
That awesome. Because Maria
it's incredible.
Is wired different than me, right? So
have you noticed?
It was her spirit to get 100 calls a day. You know, there's one young man that calls me. I think he's from Mississippi, from the area code. And he just cusses at me.
Really?
Isn't that awesome? I've never gotten to what he's mad about. But I have them under color ID as vulgar kid. But you know what? I end every conversation with them the same way. I let them know I will always take your call. Because I'm not trying to, I've spent my whole life winning arguments as a lawyer, but I'm not trying to win these arguments. I'm trying to be like Jesus because I'm just convinced that Jesus doesn't need a bunch of lawyers. Mm-hmm. What he needs are a bunch of maters. Remember that pickup truck in that movie Cars?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He just kept it really simple. If Mater was describing this thing with Jesus, he'd just say, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to my second thought about leadership, that we make our faith sometimes too easy. And it ain't easy. I've spent my whole life trying to make it easy. But what I'm trying to do is make my faith simple. I mean, Jesus is the greatest theologian ever to walk the earth, and he points to two sheep, and he says, it's like when one of those gets away. So if we just increased availability, just lose all these velvet-covered ropes that start separating everybody from everybody, and I just can't even picture Jesus in a green room eating a Snickers bar. You just go out in the parking lot, wash some cars, just go be with people. And if being with people in your bag, then don't be a leader. Literally, just that idea to just lead by being with people. Sometimes we get this idea it's the information that we give them, and it's not. The people that have always impressed me, what strikes me about Sweet Maria is that she's just available and absolutely 100% wherever she is.
Man, I love that. So, there's so much that we can glean from that.
Isn't that crazy how that works?
That's so good.
If you've ever gone to a dinner party and somebody's looking over your shoulder at the next person, one of the things I've noticed about Sweet Maria, she's just like absolutely present. As a guy, as like amped up person, I tend to be in proximity to people more than actually present. And that would be one of the many things that Maria's teaching me about leadership. Just actually be all there, wherever you are.
That's so good. So be available is huge. Our third question is, what's one thing that you have to do every day that, you know, that helps you in your leadership? Like, what's one thing that you have to do every day? So before this, I'm sure that probably would have been be available, but
yeah.
In addition to being available, what's one thing that you have to do every day, to be a good leader?
Yeah. I think for me, what I have to do every day starts the night before. And because I'm not a morning person, I find if I don't set myself up for success the night before the next day, then it's pretty rough. So like I've got the coffee set. I just have to press play is what I call it in the morning because I haven't figured out how to use the timer. But I get up and I press play on the coffee maker. And even before I open my eyes, I, you know, say hi to God. I've done that for years because I feel like that's just a really good icebreaker for the day. But the most important thing is setting up for the day before. And it's all about being ready. I remember the story in the Bible about the 10 women and their oil lamps, and they were going out to meet Jesus, and half of them had enough oil and the others didn't. And I thought, wow, memo to self, be ready, plan ahead, make sure you have what you need when you need it. And for me, I can think clearer at night. So I set out things that I might need the next day. I even try to tidy up because I have this weird phobia. If I had to exit the house in the middle of the night, I don't want to step on stuff.
Have you ever stepped on a piece of Lego?
Yeah,
it hurts.
Yeah, I probably came from that.
But, yeah.
It feels good. I have a better night's sleep. And then it's easier in the morning when it is difficult to wake up and get the cobwebs out. to just know I've kind of set myself up for success. I'll even write a few things on a post-it note, you know, like the three most important things I'm trying to get done that day, and then carry it around with me in my car or the rooms I'm in or whatever. And it just really helps.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So that means like when at the end of the day, I have to put my skateboard away, ice blocking, I have to put the ice away.
Yeah. That skateboard at the top of your stairs is never a good idea.
Oh, let's get a good story out of it. From a full body cast. One of the things that I do, I send myself emails all day long. I bet I send 60 a day to myself. I get home, I'm like,
do you not? Again? Oh, man. Yeah. Do you not get enough emails from other people?
I know, right? Yeah. Well, what I write down, though, is things that I've been thinking about, like things I'm just curious about, things that I want to know more about. And I won't write down what somebody said, because then a little while later, I'll think I thought that. So, but what I'll do is I'll just write down things that are really interesting to me. And then Sweet Maria needs to put up with it. Every morning I'm telling her how many years it took to build this citadel in Haiti this morning, and 20,000 people, you know, gave their lives to build it, and they never fired a shot, right? That is just like random stuff. But here's the deal. I want to be engaged. And one of the ideas of being engaged with everything is you'll be engaged with your faith too. And I haven't had a quiet time in 20 years. Mine are super loud. What I'll do is I'll take everything that I wrote down the day before and I'll say, no, it sounds right, but is it actually true? And that's that idea of testing against the scripture to say, is this something that Jesus spoke about? And if so, what did he say? Because there's a lot of things that sound right. I mean, you want to listen to something that sounds right? Listen to Tony Robbins. It all sounds right. But this idea, if you want to find out what's actually true, listen to Jesus. Because he's spoken to many issues and spoken to all of them, but he's spoken around them. And so if you live this life, if you're just as curious about Michelangelo finding a 50-foot piece of marble that had a chunk out of the middle of it and turning it into David— like that, what does that have to do with my faith? Everything. And it's not because I'm a sculptor. I'm just curious. And then I say like these chunks that are out of my life and your life and all that. And so it takes me to this like beautiful place. And then you start out the day curious, like you're going to have an awesome day. You all have hit the same potholes that you will. But I have context for it. I've been surrounding myself with things that are true. I've been curious about things that I didn't know about before. Man, you find somebody curious, you'll find somebody whose faith is alive.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word. Our fourth question is a little bit personal, because you guys have not been personal at all.
No.
Up until this point. But talk to us a little bit more about your home and what leadership looks like in your home. With one another, with your kids, grandkids, and
We can't wait to have grandkids.
Okay. But
leadership. We have a puppy now. That's kind of fun.
We're one sonogram away from having grandkids.
Yeah.
We just don't know whose it is. Yeah.
Well, I heard this funny quote about how grandparents will often switch photos of their dogs to their grandchildren and in terms of what they post on Facebook.
Whatever
if that
takes.
Works. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I think the leadership in our home is just kind of felt natural from the beginning, but it's not always been easy. And I remember when our kids were little, I felt really overwhelmed with this idea that I've sort of taken on raising kids as my career. And so I was with my kids at a big box store and saw a display of store signs that were for sale. And one of them said, "Help wanted." And it was one of those days where I was feeling a little snarky and thought, wow, man, isn't that the truth? And so I ended up buying this "Help Wanted" sign and bringing it home and putting it in our front window for Bob to see when he got home. Kind of a passive aggressive way, I guess, of saying, you know, this isn't going well and I need help. But the weird part is that before he got home, it occurred to me that people on the street passing by could actually see it. It was for Bob, but I realized other people could see it too. And I thought, wow, what if somebody came to the door right now and asked what the job was? So I spent a little bit of time for the first time in my overwhelmed season of really honing in on what it was that I needed. And it wasn't, you know, superficial things, you know, like let's go on vacation or get new cars or new clothes or whatever. It was like, really, when I boiled it down, I just needed a couple of hours a week to have a sitter come into the home so I could go out and get some things done so I could feel efficient again. So when Bob came home, I was able to give him the answer to what the help that I needed was. And he was kind enough to just, you know, of course, support that. But he thought the sign was that I was telling him he needed help.
I still think that. And the beautiful thing is that Sweet Maria doesn't hold this sign while she still has it.
I do.
She doesn't hold it like the sword of Damocles over my head. But it was this beautiful moment of saying like that, because we're so different. Like I want to be with people. I mean, yeah. That's like pure oxygen for me. And sometimes I think Maria thinks having me in the room is a lot of people. but just to figure out that something that Maria said really well, and it was this, that she's not trying to be like me. And I'm not trying to be like her. We're trying to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
So the Bob like version, that. You know, arms mm-hmm. over the head, like, whoa, like, guess what? You know, and then Maria's version, she's just like got so steady and focused on the family and all that. It's just really been beautiful. So one of the things that that we do around the home that would fall into the category of leadership here is to just be who God made us to be.
Yeah.
But we, instead of asking, how's my life working for me? Because I get asked that all the time. And my life's always working out terrific for me. The better question, I think, is how is your life working for the people around you?
Yeah.
Because
life could be working terrific for you, so you think. But if it ain't working for the people around you, I got a newsflash for you. It ain't working for you.
Yeah.
So Sweet Maria has just been, again, this idea that we talked about a few minutes ago about 100% kindness, 0% drama. We just don't have a lot of drama around here, but a lot of kindness. And so when I mess up, then Maria will just kindly, like, just kind of pull me back in. I travel a lot. I'm like all over the place. I'm like Tom Hanks in the terminal, just trying to get home for supper. Literally, they call me Mr. G at the airport. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
I've done adoptions for the ticket gals. I've gone to bar mitzvahs, high school graduations. It's awesome. They're my peeps. So one of the things that is very grounding for us, and it kind of leans on the question before too about some of the habits that we have, is I'll read scripture and I'll send out one tweet or Instagram or something every day. And I don't put a bunch of Bible verses in it, like even love does. There's no Bible verses in it. You want a Bible verse? Read the Bible. It's full of them. What I want to do is just say things that are true. And so I say to myself, what is the simplest way to say whatever it is and the truest way? I'm not trying to say things that rhyme. I can't find one verse in scripture that rhymes. Yeah. And if somebody gives you advice that rhymes, run.
What if it's alliterated?
It rhymes and alliterated.
Yeah. So one of the things in leadership is to just say things that are true. You don't blow sunshine at people. You just say things you observe. And, you know, like you've got a great countenance. I love your smile. Love it, whatever it is, around the office, wherever you are, at the airport. Just tell people things that are true.
Yeah, I love that.
Good deal. All right, let's get to our fifth question. This is the last one, so let's make it count. What would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
Wow. Okay, I think I would, my 20-year-old self was really rough around the edges, so I'd want a wood shedder, but I think I would say to surround yourself with people who make you feel hungry in your faith, strong in your resolve, and more available to your family. I think that's in a nutshell. If you stay focused on those things, everything else will fall into place. Because those are the things that Jesus said will last. Everything else won't. Mm. So if you stay focused on your faith, your beliefs, your family, things that really last and matter, then I think you'll do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would find my that 20-year-old version of me, and I'd give him Maria's address. I'd say, get a hold of her and marry her as fast as you can. Yeah, and get a haircut.
Oh, man.
That'll help. But that what if you find the right person for some of the people that are listening, you've found the right person and you're been married for a while. Others, you might be listening and you're still dating. And one of the things to do is to just to find that right person. Because you find the right person, you just figured out 85% of your life. And if you find the wrong one, you just figured out 95% of your life. Because yeah. you spend all your time putting air in a tire that's got a hole in it. And and so wherever you're at, married for 20 years, dating for 20 minutes, just to continue to have the resolve to say, not just finding him, but then being the right person. It's faith, hope, and love. Those mm-hmm. are the only things Jesus said is going to last. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you work on your faith, fill your life with hope. And then this idea of giving away love, Galatians 5, the only thing that matters is your faith expressed in love. And Jesus doesn't need our help. I asked him. What he wants is our hearts. And so the more that we're giving our hearts to him, and it'll express itself in these kind acts of love, not getting in people's grill just because they disagree, because you're not the sheriff. You're just another person trying to make their way, limping towards Jesus. And if you're married, do that with your spouse. If you're single, find somebody that knows what love's all about. Literally, for those of you that are dating, when a guy, like I remember when Lindsay was at the age to date, which is 47.
Amen to that.
when guys would come to ask, to just ask them, what's your definition of love? And because they're guys, they won't know. And so send them home and say, when you know what love is, come and ask me out and I'll tell you if I'll go. Because if they say it's like just butterflies, you can get that from bad pizza. But love is sacrifice and commitment. And so I think when, as we're kind of wrapping up, I would say what I would tell this 20-year-old version of me, I would say, know what the definition of love is. It's sacrifice and commitment. If it's something else, it ain't love. It's just dinner and a movie.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's that question is better than taking a machete out of your trunk and intimidating him. Yes. If you remember that movie. Awesome. Well, on that note.
Wow, Daniel.
Uncle Buck, I think he's a driver.
Yes. Yes, that is the movie. I was trying to figure out what movie. Yes, Uncle.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
I had a car that smoked a little bit more than his did. It was crazy. I love that movie. Yeah. So one of the things, if you're curious, you can just find some of the answers and mix it up. Like literally, just take that movie like Finding Nemo. Remember there's a scene, Sweet Marie and I were talking about that, where Dory keeps forgetting things. And the advice she gets when she gets to the big reef is go through, not over.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I would say to a 20-year-old version of me is don't try to go over some of these things that are difficult that God puts in front of you. Go through them, but go through them with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It might take longer than you want it to, but it's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on this podcast with Bob and Maria Goff. You can pick up Bob's book, Love Does, and Maria's book, Love Lives Here, at anywhere books are sold. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
We'll put those in the show notes, and as well, go ahead and check out Restore International too. We didn't mention that on the podcast, but that's their nonprofit that you will definitely want to take a look at as well. So we'll put all that in the show notes, and thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our fall conference, October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, and to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and the early bird deadline is July 31st, so move quickly to take advantage of these discounts.